Pastor Ray Bentley says our plans and dreams don't have to die when we become Christians.
Even when you give up on your dreams and when you give up on your prayers, the fact that you at one time thought it, dreamed it, hoped for it, wanted it and wished for it, the Lord takes notes. He knows every dream of your heart, and everything you've ever dreamed and hoped for will be fulfilled at the appropriate time, because we serve a wonderful and amazing and a gracious God.
Spread the news. All of His people coming down before the King. Lift your voice. Jesus is coming. Join the song. Sing along. Let it ring.
Welcome to Maranatha Radio with Pastor Ray Bentley. Maranatha, bringing the message of Christ's soon return, the whole gospel to the whole world. It's never too late to turn over a new leaf, to make positive changes. And today, Pastor Ray helps us see how our plans and prayers and dreams can be a part of our walk with the Lord. It's one of the essentials we'll uncover as Pastor Ray launches an in-depth study today in the Gospel of Luke. Glad you're along at the very start.
Luke chapter 1, we're going to go through the first 25 verses or so. As we begin, Luke, give a little introduction and then get into the story of how really after some 400 years of silence, God finally delivered on a promise that He made in the days of Malachi and a voice crying in the wilderness and a very unique announcement of a birth, the birth of a son, John. His name will be called John, which means the favor of God. There's probably some of you here tonight who have the name John. My middle name is John, and it means the favor of the Lord, finding favor or finding grace from the Lord. Gospel of Luke, chapter 1, beginning in verse 1. We'll read the first four verses and then give a little introduction. Inasmuch as many have taken in hand to set in order a narrative of those things which have been fulfilled among us, just as those who from the beginning were eyewitnesses and ministers of the word delivered them to us, it seemed good to me also, having had perfect understanding of all things from the very first, to write to you an orderly account, most excellent Theophilus, that you may know the certainty of those things in which you were instructed. We do not know a lot about the author Luke himself, but I will tell you this. He is a Gentile. And if you've never heard that word or term before, basically it means anybody who's not Jewish. It's the rest of the world other than the Jews. And it's very interesting then that Luke is a Gentile because he is the only Gentile author of the entire New Testament. Every other book and every other author of the New Testament is Jewish. So Luke stands out from all the rest for that reason alone. He was also well-educated. He was a very cultured man. Another thing, you know that there are four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Luke's Gospel is the longest of all the four Gospels. In fact, he tells us more stories that the other three Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and John, many of them tell similar stories, similar miracles, similar parables. Luke apparently was written a little bit later, and he added to and filled in a fuller story. He was not an eyewitness. He didn't live and see Jesus himself, but he apparently came to the Lord soon afterwards, came to be a very strong believer, traveled even with the Apostle Paul and some of his missionary journeys. And he went to the apostles. And in fact, I believe that he went, it seems that he went to Mary, Jesus' own mother, to get a firsthand. What he is saying here is that I went to the eyewitnesses. Luke is seen as a tremendous historian. And he went and gathered there were all kinds of facts and all kinds of stories and all kinds of miracles and all kinds of things being shared right after Jesus had ascended and gone to heaven. And remember, there were many of them that believed because Jesus had promised he would come back. There were many of them that were feeling, well, let's just go and tell as many people as we can, and he's coming back before we die anyway. Well, what began to happen is over a period of years, and some of those early original believers in Jesus Christ began to die, there were some who said, you know, maybe Jesus isn't going to come back in our lifetime. And it would be a good idea then for us to collect all the various stories, teachings, miracles, and parables, and especially with those who were the apostles, who were the eyewitnesses, who actually listened to Jesus. And so Luke becomes the great historian of the New Testament. He not only wrote the Gospel of Luke, but he wrote probably the other most important book in the New Testament called the Book of Acts, the Acts of the Apostles, the early church, the record, the history. So Luke is a historian. The first two chapters of Luke, he tells all these details about the birth of Jesus that we don't get anywhere else. And we believe it's because he sat down one day with Mary, Jesus' mother, and said, "Tell me how it happened." And what you're going to be hearing is Luke, the writer, but the historian, dictating to us the story from Mary herself, Jesus' own mother, about the events starting with John the Baptist, which we'll look at, and then as we continue on, the story of the birth of Jesus himself. Luke probably also obviously got a lot of information from the Apostle Paul, since he traveled with him as a missionary. He probably had a firsthand personal relationship with the apostles Peter and John and others, and so he collated and put all these stories together in this amazing and beautiful gospel and wrote it all down. We also know that Luke was a physician. He was a doctor. But he was more than just a physical expert in the arts of healing. He was a tremendous lover of people. We discover Luke presents Jesus, the God who became the Son of Man. And he tells more stories of the humanity of Jesus being moved with compassion and being sensitive and tender-hearted, and how he dealt with people and answered their problems and their questions. And so you're going to find, sometimes as Christians we think, oh, we become this spiritual other kind of, person. In reality, there is nothing more human than being filled with the Holy Spirit. There is nothing more humanizing than having a relationship with Jesus Christ. Jesus is human, God who became man. And so, sometimes there's the battle between Christianity and humanism. But humanism is just talking about humanity without God. There is a humanism in a broader sense that talks about the beauty of humanity, because we were made in whose image? The image of God. So we don't deny our humanity. We glory in it. We thank God for it. And though we have fallen short of the glory of the Lord, now in the gospel we are being restored. And he wants to sanctify us, but he also one day wants to glorify us. So I love Luke, the medical doctor. He is called the beloved physician by the Apostle Paul, a lover of people, a tender heart. He also delights in mentioning individuals. Like a lot of the other gospels will tell a story, there was a certain man, and in a parable, and then there was a woman who came and ran and said, "I need this or that." What you will find, if you will go with me, as we go through the Gospel of Luke, you're going to find names of individuals, people, real people with real names, real human beings, just like you and me. So we find Zechariah, Elizabeth, Mary, Martha, Zacchaeus, Cleopas, all these interesting characters that one day we're going to meet when we go to heaven. It's also Luke that transcends, as some say, the first century's often neglect of women. He mentions more stories about women than all the other gospels. And he also mentions their names: Mary, Elizabeth, Anna, Martha, the other Mary, Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Susanna, and the widow of Nain, and tells all these beautiful stories. We also find Luke's heart for children. He loves little children, and he loves how Jesus was moved by them and how children were drawn and attracted to Jesus. And so Luke's always telling stories, not only about the parents and the adults who wandered into Jesus' miraculous life, but he then will mention, and then the little children came, or then the children came and sat in his lap, or then Jesus laid his hands upon and blessed the little children. And so there are some of you that have that tremendous love and affinity. Some of you are teachers. Some of you minister in Sunday school. Some of you just adore your little brothers and sisters or nieces and nephews. You are also going to especially fall in love with this gospel of Luke. In fact, Luke gives us the only information about Jesus' boyhood. The other gospels kind of skip right to you. He was born miraculously, and then, you know, there he is getting baptized, beginning his ministry. Luke tells us some incidents about Jesus when he was a boy there in the temple, and you know what I mean. Luke is also powerfully moved by the poor. And while that may be a relative term for us who live in the United States, surely there are some of you here tonight that would not classify yourselves as rich and that struggle maybe from week to week or month to month and just to kind of keep up and pay the bills and make it. It is very interesting that God loves people who struggle financially. He loves poor people. In fact, heaven is going to be filled with poor people. Luke tells of all the stories he heard about Jesus, he tells all these stories of Jesus being moved with compassion toward the poor people and preaching the gospel to poor people. Right now, the front edge of the sickle of the gospel, where the most multitudes and millions are coming to the Lord, are not in the richest nations on the planet Earth, but today are the poorest countries, the poorest people, because still God's heart is moved and touched by them. So Luke will give some parables warning if you are rich. He said, be careful. You better realize that God has given you a responsibility and you need to use that responsibility as a blessing to others and not take pride and think that somehow you're better than other people who are less fortunate.
Pastor Ray Bentley will have more of today's study in just a moment.
So many listeners have shared comments on what Pastor Ray's teachings on Maranatha Radio have meant to them.
Pastor Ray introduced me to my beloved Jesus, taught me of Jesus' love and how important Israel is in biblical prophecy. His faithfulness to honor Israel shined brightly and will for all time. Pastor Ray was such an anointed servant.
Listener comments are so encouraging. If you'd like to express your thoughts and tell us how these messages have impacted your life, would you take just 60 seconds and write an email? Send it to ray@raybentley.com or post it on our homepage at raybentley.com.
And now more of today's message from Pastor Ray Bentley.
Luke's themes, love. Love. Again and again, every single story, every parable, everything that Luke talks about, he was fascinated with how Jesus, as the Messiah, brought a message of the love of God. And that even when he talks about the kingdom of God, it is in the context of a kingdom of love. How many of you were drawn to the message of Jesus Christ because finally what you ached for and what you longed for and dreamed of and thought that's what God was all about? God is love. Well, it's true. And Luke is going to bathe you again and again and again. It's going to be like just taking a fresh bath or shower in the love of God. Salvation, that God loves to save people. Who needs to be saved? People that are struggling and that are in trouble. So if you like the idea of being delivered and being saved, you're going to love the gospel of Luke. Also the cross. Probably because Luke was a doctor and he was a physician and he understood, human sensitivity in the skin and bones and breaking and bodies. He tells us a great kind of a doctor, humanized, tender, passionate, powerful story of the cross and of the crucifixion, and even, you know, how the angels came and ministered to Jesus at a certain point during the passion. I am in love with Luke. In fact, I can't wait to get to heaven and meet Luke and sit down with him and share with him and learn from him. Also, another major theme that you'll find in the Gospel of Luke is that repeated references to the Holy Spirit. He can't talk about anybody, you know, even beginning with John the Baptist, filled with the Holy Spirit. And when Elizabeth, comes and there is Mary and there is that leaping in her womb, she was filled with the Holy Spirit. And all throughout the Gospel of Luke, it seems that Luke was very sensitive, not only to the parables and the stories and the teachings and even the miracles, but that every time Jesus touched someone or opened his mouth, there was something dynamically supernatural and spiritual, and the Holy Spirit touched planet Earth again and again and again. So you're going to be bathed and refreshed in these references to the Holy Spirit. And then, of course, you know, as we mentioned, he wrote the book of Acts. He talks about the outpouring and Pentecost of the Holy Spirit. My hope and prayer, as we go through the Gospel of Luke, that together we will be bathed in love, salvation, the cross, the tenderness and the power of his resurrection, of the refreshing times and the Holy Spirit's presence. And then finally, Luke's gospel is called the singing gospel. He gives all of these songs that were sung or that were declared, the Magnificat, you know, as Mary just bursts into song and worships the Lord. It resounds with music. Some have said that Luke's gospel could be put, the entire thing, to music. One of his favorite words is rejoice. So that's the basic introduction. Luke wrote this then, probably in these first two chapters, sitting at the feet of Mary, Jesus' own mother. And he wrote it for this guy, Theophilus. We don't know anything about Theophilus, but his name means, in Greek, lover of God. And it may have been someone that Luke was hired. In ancient times, you would hire rich people, their own personal physician. And it may be that he, for his patron, wrote this gospel, but knowing it would also go further and be read farther than that. Okay, now let's get into it. Verse 5. It says, "And there was, in the days of Herod, the king of Judea, a certain priest named Zechariah, of the division of Abia. His wife was of the daughters of Aaron." You remember Aaron in the Old Testament, the original priest? "And her name was Elizabeth." So here you have this righteous Jewish couple. "And they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord blameless." What that means, it doesn't mean that they were without sin. Everybody is a sinner. What it means is that they were genuine lovers of God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. They were seeking to the best of their ability to follow God's commandments, loving God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, loving your neighbor as yourself. They were following the Sabbath. They were praying. And they were both from priestly families. And in fact, Zechariah himself was a priest. So they both had a close relationship with the Lord. But, listen to this, they had no child because Elizabeth was barren and they were both well advanced in years. Verse 8, "So it was that while he was serving as priest before God in the order of his division, according to the custom of the priesthood, his lot fell to burn incense when he went into the temple of the Lord. And the whole multitude of the people was praying outside at the hour of incense. And then an angel of the Lord appeared to him standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zechariah saw him, he was troubled and fear fell upon him." Zechariah is one of about, they say, 8,000 priests. Now, every day they had certain duties in the temple that you would do. But with 8,000 priests, there was not enough things to do for 8,000. Let me try to put this into perspective. If you were a priest living in Zechariah's day, you might never get to actually go into the holy place. Not only the high priest went into the Holy of Holies, but the priest could go into the holy place. And that's where the incense was offered. You might never get in there, and those who were chosen to go in there, if you did get chosen, you were only going to get to do it one time in your life. And you get the right ticket. And all of a sudden, it's like, wow, I didn't know that I would ever get to go into the temple. I got chosen. This is the greatest day in your life. You get to go up and see that curtain that is embroidered that has the cherubim in it, the blue and the purple and the gold and the lampstand, the menorah and the showbread. And then they take the coals from off the altar where lambs were sacrificed, and they take those coals and they put them into a golden bowl, and then they put incense on it, which immediately the smoke, which this strong, powerful aroma that fills the whole inner sanctuary. Here is Zechariah the priest. Outside, the whole nation of people are praying. You are in the temple, this beautiful temple on top of the Mount Zion. And now this is your one day, the one day in your entire life. And you're an old man and you get to go in and see the cherubim embroidered into the curtain of the Holy of Holies. And you know on the other side is the Ark of the Covenant, the golden cherubim, the mercy seat. And you walk in and it's filled. Oh, the walls have gold upon them and there are angels that are carved into them. And it's just absolutely unbelievably beautiful. And you begin to swing the golden bowl and the smoke of the incense begins to arise and it fills the whole tiny little room, this holy place, on the other side of which is the Holy of Holies where the Shekinah glory of God dwells. And as he is there and he is swinging it and he's praying and he knows that he's representing the nation and the whole nation is praying, all of a sudden, on the one day, the once in a lifetime day, an angel appears out of the golden walls of the holy place, a gigantic, awesome, powerful, supernatural, overwhelming angel whose name is Gabriel. Gabriel, the angel who has not been seen for 500 years. The last time Gabriel visited the planet Earth, he visited a guy 500 years earlier named Daniel the prophet in Babylon, and Gabriel gave a prophecy of when the Messiah would come to Daniel the prophet. I mean, it's enough that you got to go into the temple. It's your once-in-a-lifetime deal, and you're in there, and the nation is praying, and he must have been every thing inside of him vibrating with excitement, and then to have an angel appear. The angel appears and comes to him. Now, look with me in verse 12. It says, when Zechariah saw him, he was troubled and fear fell upon him. But, verse 13, the angel said to him, do not be afraid. Zechariah, your prayer is heard, and your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you shall call his name John. And you will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth, for he will be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink. He will also be filled with the Holy Spirit, even from his mother's womb, and he will turn many of the children of Israel to the Lord their God. He will also go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah, to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. Wow. You and Elizabeth are going to have a son. I don't think Zechariah had even been praying for many years about having a son. He'd given up. He's old. But listen to this. Even when you give up on your dreams and when you give up on your prayers, the fact that you at one time thought it, dreamed it, hoped for it, wanted it and wished for it, the Lord takes notes. This is better than Christmas and Santa Claus and all of the lists. He knows every dream of your heart, and everything you've ever dreamed and hoped for will be fulfilled at the appropriate time, because we serve a wonderful and amazing and a gracious God. Amen.
Great encouragement from Pastor Ray Bentley as we begin this new study in the Gospel of Luke here on Maranatha Radio. Today's study is titled The Promise. If you missed any part of the presentation, you can hear a replay on iTunes or at raybentley.com. That's raybentley.com. We hope you'll stop by our site today. When you're there, you can leave a few words in tribute to Pastor Ray's life and ministry. And under Media, you'll notice three words, Watch, Radio, and Devo. Three ways to enjoy Pastor Ray's insights. Plus, click About and find out more about Pastor Ray and find out how you can come into a deeper relationship with the Lord. And at the bottom of the page, you can sign up to receive Pastor Ray's daily devotions via email, free of charge. Plus, you'll find other spiritual growth books and resources from Pastor Ray, including his new book called The Final Witness, an eye-opening prophetic fiction novel. So many are enjoying the full 5-book series called The Elijah Chronicles. You can too. And raybentley.com is always where you'll find the best deals on Pastor Ray's resources. You can also make a donation right there on the site. Your investments help bring the whole gospel to the whole world. Our mailing address is Maranatha Radio, 10752 Coastwood Road, San Diego, California, 92127. Next time, join Pastor Ray for more from our studies in Luke. More from God's Word next time on Maranatha Radio. Maranatha, bringing the message of Christ's soon return, the whole gospel to the whole world. Maranatha Radio with Pastor Ray Bentley is an outreach of Maranatha Chapel, 10752 Coastwood Road, San Diego, California, 92127.